Well, good morning, Christ the King, and good morning to all those who are watching online, and especially good morning to all you guys and gals who are out there in the parking lot watching online with us, and this just thanks for gathering here this weekend. And I want to say something real quick. I raised a hallelujah. That song this morning, oh my gosh, that was amazing to hear that and the power of that. And we're talking about overcoming evil today, and that song, that's what it's about. You raise a hallelujah, and evil is banished, because what that says, raise a hallelujah, is praise the Lord, and that is what's going to banish evil and the evil one, and I just want to get that out there. It's so amazing to be able to put that out there. But yeah, good morning, and welcome to worship this morning, and we're going to, I'm Pastor Bill McKinley, and we're going to continue our sermon series on strengthening and strength. And a couple weeks ago, Pastor Craig and Marilyn were preaching about strengthening marriages. And last week, Pastor Craig brought the message about strengthening families and how we do that and with knowing who Jesus Christ is in the Holy Spirit. And today, we're preaching about overcoming the evil one, overcoming Satan, because there is one who overcomes the lies. And as we dive into this, you know, some people don't believe, oh, there's an evil one out there in Satan, but there is. And that's what our battle's against. And it's not just against the evil of, like, you know, the Holocaust and those big senses of evil. Satan attacks us and comes into our lives and wants to destroy us too. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit more today, is the personal ideas of how we overcome Satan, overcome evil. You know, Jesus knew that there is evil. We see in the book of Genesis, all the way from the beginning with the snake tempting Adam and Eve, Satan there, and all the way to the end, the book of Revelations, we see how eventually that Christ is overcoming Satan and throwing him and locking him away for all eternity. But even in Jesus' own life, we see in John where Satan entered into Judas to betray him. So we knew, and Jesus knew, that Satan was real, and that's a battle we're against. But you may have also noticed that I have this wonderful young woman next to me here, Sidonia Tringali. And Sidonia is one of our college students, and we're talking about our graduate Sunday. And so I thought it would be a great opportunity to bring up one of our recent graduates to kind of share the message with me. She graduated last year and is going to Chapel Hill, and she's grown up in the church. She's done an amazing job here serving as a leader in the youth ministry, student ministry, whether it's on tech retreats or mission trips or other activities, mentoring younger girls. She's just an amazing woman of God. But Sidonia, why don't you share a little bit?
Good morning, everybody. I'm so excited to be here, and especially next to Bill, who has been such an incredible mentor and challenged me and encouraged me in my walk with the Lord so much. So I'm so excited to be here. So God really was knocking on the door of my heart all through high school, through tech and mission trips and leaders who cared so much about me and sweet community. And I really got caught up in the fact that I thought I had all of my stuff together, and me following all the rules made me a good person, and that's what saved me, is that if I could stay in this box, that's what made me a good person. And then I went to college, and God absolutely wrecked my heart with the gospel. To put it in the words of Caitlin Wisnett, the knocking became a wrecking ball. And truly, I saw that there is nothing that I can do that could ever deserve the love of Christ that he has for me and what happened on the cross. And that really changed everything. It became a relationship with my Creator instead of a set of rules to follow. It changed everything. It changed my heart. It changed the way I interact with other people, the way I interact with my family. It just changed everything. And so praise Jesus for that. And I actually became my college life leader with the Ministry of Young Life, so I'm able to love on freshmen next year and love on my community and what it looks like to be a Christian in a very public university and have those cool, challenging conversations. So that has just been absolutely incredible. But it also hasn't ever been that easy. That sounds so pretty and nice. Like, when you go to college, it's no. So my first night at college, I remember this. Oh, my gosh. I had a total of 3 friends, my suite, and they all went out to a frat party. And they were drinking and all this stuff. And I was like, okay, so I'm a loser. Like, I'm literally here by myself with no friends. I remember calling my mom, and I was filled with so much loneliness and anxiety. And, like, this is what my college experience was going to look like. And I was like, Mom, like, what do I do? What's going on? And she was like, I remember this is so much wisdom. Made me feel so loved and heard. So for parents of graduates, too, this is sweet. she was like, Sonia, I love you no matter what. I know you have a good head on your shoulders. Just like breathing life into me, not telling me what to do, not getting mad at me, any of that stuff. I ended up staying home, staying in my bed, and I actually met one of my really, really good friends that night, and she came over, and we talked about Jesus, and we watched movies, and we currently lead college life together, too. So, yes, it's just been really cool to see the way God has used college in that transition, but also knowing that those evils and those temptations are very real.
You know, and Sidonia, that's an amazing story to hear how, you know, Satan, when he attacks us at our insecurities in our life. And, you know, it's just not college students. It's adults, too. And I need to tell you, like, for myself, you know, lately where I felt Satan sort of nudging at the edges and attacking me is with the whole corona being quarantined. Is there was about three weeks ago, that it was a bad week. I felt attacked. I felt lonely. I felt isolated. And I have roommates, but I still felt that way. And he was saying, you're no good, this is going to go on forever. And I'm a people person, and I love being around people, and I couldn't be. But I felt Satan poking me at those edges, and then I felt the distance of God, and it wasn't God leaving me, it was Satan trying to say, well, God's not there, but he is. And it took a while for me to overcome that. And even to this day, this quarantine, it just harms my soul a little bit, and I have to fight almost daily battles right now to feel that sense of connection to people. But, you know, as adults, we feel Satan attacking us in a lot of ways. We listen to the world way too often. We listen to the world saying, okay, I need more of this. I need better of this. I need to buy this. And I think for a lot of us adults, we get caught up in that race of keeping up with people and spending more and trying to do more. I think we get caught up with our children, you know, is that we follow them around. I know families that are split on the weekend, two or three different places with their kids as they're trying to support them, but they don't come together as a family. And so, you know, the anxiety, the loneliness, those attitudes, that's what Satan wants to prey on. He knows what separates us from the love of God. That's really what Satan wants to do, is separate us. We listen to the lies of the world, whether it's students or adults. We listen to the lies of the world because Satan is the father of lies, and the devil wants us to make us to believe that. And Satan doesn't have to work hard at all in that because we're going to listen to those lies. C.S. Lewis said it kind of this way. He said there's two ways that people believe about Satan. One is they believe that he doesn't exist, and so they don't look for him, and they don't realize they're being attacked. And the other way is that they look for him around every single corner. Oh, Satan's there, Satan's there, Satan's there. And they see him everywhere. And so, you know what they focus more on is the evil one than they focus on God. But God is the one who overcomes the evil one. And so we're going to talk a little bit about those things today. And we like the lies the world tells us. And we listen to the world, and we listen to those lies that are out there. Because Satan is the father of lies. And that says that in John 8:44. It says, and this is Jesus speaking, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and not holding to the truth. And it goes on to say, when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's a liar and the father of lies. Satan is the father of lies. The ones that say we're not good enough, we have to do these things, we have to follow these, we have to buy these things, that is the father of lies. That's what Satan believes in. And so, too often, we want to be able to follow those lies.
Yeah, and that verse is such a testament to the fact that those lies that we believe come from Satan. He is the father of them. Those do not come from Jesus. And practically, like, what are those lies that we believe in? Like, we can always be like, oh, I'm like, I don't, that doesn't happen to me. Like, no, but this is, like, very real stuff. So some lies that I know have been so prevalent this year, especially, is loneliness and anxiety. Believing that I can fix whatever's going on. I can pull myself out of it. A big one for Christians, I have to have my life put together. I have to be joyful and happy all the time. That's how that has to look. Even lies that we believe from people around us, that we are a disappointment, that no one cares about us, that we're too far from God, we're too lost. These are all lies from the devil that we are not meant to believe and dwell in. What happens when we believe these lies, from little ones to I'm stressed out about going to college, like all this stuff, it's out of my control, to really, really big ones of feeling alone, especially in this quarantine time, just so able to be under attack. It drains our joy. It really takes away from the joy that God has for our lives. It leads us to worry and anxiety and depression. It destroys relationships in our lives. It wrecks families. This is a huge one. It takes away from the purpose that God has on our lives, the call that he has for each person. When we're focused on these lies, we can't focus on what God has for us and the good works that he has laid out for us to do for him. And it separates us from the abundant life that Jesus promises today, now, and in eternity. And I also think when it comes to those things like, I have to put my life back together, I can pull myself out of this, we put God in this box. We're like, God, you're not king over all of these things because I can do it. And so thinking about like what that does with our relationship with Jesus too, putting him in this box and not recognizing him as the creator of the universe and the creator of us too.
And you know, too often though, sometimes we say, okay, we're going to overcome Satan, but I'm going to start doing these things. You know, kind of like you were talking about in high school, you felt a little bit is okay, well, I'm going to go to worship. I'm going to go to youth group. I'm going to do Bible study. And what it becomes then is a checklist. And the checklist is what Satan also wants us to do. Because when it becomes a checklist, then it just becomes another thing to do. It's not about a relationship. It's about doing. And what Christ wants is a relationship with us, and not us to just do more and more and more. But also, sometimes we think, okay, what's also a checklist in the negative sense is like, okay, well, I'm not going to drink to excess. I'm not going to sleep around. I'm not going to do drugs. I'll give money to the church. But that's also a checklist. Our relationship with Jesus is about overcoming the lies of Satan. And the lies of Satan is it's about doing things for God. And what we need to realize is we cannot follow Christ by sin management. Christ didn't come to manage your sin. He came to wreck it and change it and move it away and for that relationship with us. He came for us to look at life. And Moses, in the book of Deuteronomy, said it, I think, the best. And he said this in Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. He said, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase. The Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. Let's go back to the first slide, the first half of that. You see, there is sort of a checklist. It says to keep his commands and obedience. But before you do that, what does it say? It says, love the Lord your God. Everything about repelling Satan and the evil that's around us comes from loving the Lord your God first and foremost. That's what he wants, is that relationship. And he sets it before us, whether it's death or life. That's the choice we have. Not just in the world to come, not in just the idea that we're going to go to heaven if we know who Jesus is, but he wants us to have life today and not be dead to the world. He wants us to have that joy. And so in the reality, it's not a checklist. It's about choosing life. And there is that one who overcomes the lies.
And yeah, absolutely. What does the Bible say about this choice? That's really important to go to. And the Bible sets up this contrast describing the character of the king of lies and the king of truth. To start off with John 10:10, this comes from the Good Shepherd passage, and it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And some versions say have it abundantly. So this is saying the king of lies, he has three goals: steal, kill, and destroy. All really icky, gross stuff, okay? And then we have John 14:6, and this is when Jesus is comforting the disciples about the truth of who he is before he goes to the cross. It says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, so now we have the King of Truth, and it says he's the way and the truth and the life. So just one more time in case you didn't get it. King of lies, steal, kill, destroy. King of truth, way, truth, and life. Like, that seems like a pretty obvious choice. Like, which one do we want to be about? Which one do we want to lead our lives? And then, because I know I want to choose truth also, because truth wins. If that wasn't enough, more than that, the king of truth, he came to earth loving us this much and died on a cross for us to defeat death. Like that song we were just singing, death is defeated. And this is why it says in 1 John 3:8, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil. because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That is why Jesus came, is that he could reign in our hearts, that he could destroy all of the lies, all of the death. And so choosing truth looks easy when he says, no, I'm in control. I've done it already. I already have by the cross.
You know, that line in there, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. That's so powerful. And that's what we want to focus on. You know, but too often we think, okay, I have a relationship with Jesus, and so my life is going to be perfect. And we think everything is going to be kind of rose-colored glasses. But in the midst of repelling Satan, in the midst of Jesus in our lives, we are still going to have pain sometimes. And it's not necessarily because the devil's in it, but cancer happens. Divorce happens. Death, loss of jobs. These things happen. And what Jesus wants is to have that relationship with him. And so when those things happen in our life, Satan can't come into those tragedies in our life. Satan can't come into our quarantines. Because if we have Satan and that protection of him, and we call on his name and working on that relationship with him, that means that when we are in those pains, we know that Jesus is hanging on that cross there. That God is with us in our pains, in our struggles. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy to overcome the pain in our lives. But with Christ there, when we remember that he did not spare his only begotten Son to die for us and suffered for us, our God knows what it means to suffer, and he suffers with us. And he will help us through that. And he'll give us peace, and he'll work with us through those things. But it's also about turning from that life of sin to that life of repentance. God wants us to turn our back on Satan and say, no more, and turn back and turn towards Jesus. And he wants us to stop looking for truth in so many different places. If he's the way, the truth, and the life, there's one truth. And we have to stop looking for truth in the movies or with music stars or whatever is going on out in the world. We have to look for the truth that never changes. The world says truth changes and changes and changes. But our Lord Jesus Christ has written eternal truth, and that's what we need to focus on. And I really believe, Sidonia, is that God is using this quarantine time to strip things away from us. I love baseball, and I miss baseball. But there's no baseball. I can't worship baseball anymore. I can't worship sports anymore. But that has to be all of us, too. And it's just not the sports. It's all the distractions in our lives that are out there. And God is saying no more. I think this quarantine time means we could focus more on him as the author of truth. As we could focus more on our families, even sometimes when it's hard in our families, because now you're all stuck together and you're trying to do everything and you're on top of each other. But God is calling us to work miracles in our families, in our friendships, to spend time with him, to go for a walk and to listen to him. I really believe that when we know there is one that overcomes the lies, that God will use this quarantine time to work an amazing relationships in our lives.
So what are some practical strategies that it looks like to choose truth in our lives? Because first, we know it's not us that we can defeat this evil and this lies. We know it's Jesus alone. But there are some things that have been helping me during quarantine and during big life changes, and I know have been helping Bill too. So first is recognizing sin patterns or lies that we're believing. Taking time and being like, God, what is not of you right now? What am I believing that is not life-giving? This can be kind of hard and icky and uncomfortable, but it's so important to get those lies and that evil out in the open so that God can defeat it and that we don't have to dwell on it anymore. And after that, immersing ourselves in the promises of the Bible and what Jesus says, self-preaching and keeping his truth on repeat in our head. I know one that's really important to me, Psalm 27, 1-3, and it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident." Saying, even then I will be confident. Even in quarantine, I will be confident that my God is working together all things for his good. And there are so many other promises, thousands of them in the Bible, that we can just keep reminding our hearts of, that God is good and the King of truth. leads into my next point of making a list of the goodness in my life and the things I'm thankful for. In the devotion Jesus Calling, it says, everything around us and that makes us who we are is His. Everything around us. And I know that can be a tricky thing and maybe too optimistic of being, what are all the things I'm thankful for? But just waking up in the morning is something to be thankful for. Thank you, Jesus, for letting me love you today. And thank you for my family, even if they get on my nerves. Thank you for everything. Making lists of all of the little goodnesses in our lives that remind us that God is still so good. And then that always causes me to worship once I have a tangible list of, like, looking at, I am so blessed and I am so thankful. Worship, sitting in the presence of God. If all of these things sound like they're too much and you're like, I can't do anything right now. No, absolutely not. Just taking a minute and sitting in the presence of God and letting His peace wash over our hearts.
You know, and another way is through community. You know, I believe Satan attacks us through being lonely. And I know there's people out there who are living alone right now with the quarantine. But even in our own homes, if we have people there, we can feel lonely and not connected to each other. And so we have to be able to be connected to each other. And like Pastor Kyle was talking about earlier today, today is the idea. Today is community group signups. And how I know it's not the same meeting over Zoom to do community groups, but we know we're going to be faithful that God will bring us together as groups and people again soon. But right now, at least that's a way to be able to be connected. And, you know, our high school students have their Zoom groups on Sunday nights, and our college-age kids have been getting together on Zoom. It's so important to be able to at least see someone face-to-face to be able to do that. So I'd urge you to go online. And if you can't right now, just wait till we start meeting again together in community and groups. It's so important. Call someone. I talked to my brother last night, and just the idea of hearing his voice all the way in Illinois, being in community with each other is so important and what it does to us. And then I think the last thing is exercise your faith. And I was talking to one of our high school students last Sunday, and he was talking about how he's not working out anymore, and so he's starting to get a little smaller and stuff. And that's how our faith is if we don't work our faith, what's going to happen to it? It's going to get smaller. And so we cannot do our faith for an hour on a Sunday morning. Everything that Sidonia and I have been talking about is something we can be doing every single day. Maybe you're not making that list every day, but maybe you're listening to worship music. Maybe you're in community. Maybe you're reading. Maybe you're just going for a walk and have music on, and you're praying to God. It's about exercising your faith. You know, it's like all these sports teams, too. If you play a sport, if you don't practice it, you're going to lose your muscle memory. You're not going to remember how to do it. And so exercise your faith. It's more than 1 hour a week. And so the battle we have is against the forces of evil, but it can only be won with Jesus Christ, because there is one who overcomes the lies. And that's what we have to lean on, is the truth of that.
Amen. So also just some practical, no, some like how this looks in my life. So what is living a life abundantly look like with Jesus as the King? First, I want to say it's much easier said than done. Sitting up here and saying, I don't know, be happy. Like, it's definitely easier said than done. But it is a sweet decision that does lead to full and complete joy in life in Him. First, recognizing that we can't do it on our own. It's only Jesus. And that takes the pressure and the burdens off us, is just sitting at the feet of Jesus and being like, God, this is yours, and I don't want to do it. I don't want to fight these battles on my own. Also, I know something that has been so prevalent, and I'm so thankful for Crux with too, is surrounding myself with life-giving community. And it makes me think of all the overnights at the church where we would literally not sleep at all and run around here all day long, or the hours that my friends and I spend making TikToks and thinking that's really fun, or just sitting and having sweet conversations with people that I can be like, you are my sister in Christ and my best friend, and that is so sweet, and being able to encourage one another like that is unique and different and special. Something else is choosing righteousness over worldly desires. That is difficult. It's countercultural. It will look like not saying, like, this is what my flesh wants, but this is what will give glory and honor to God. Just like little practical things that will keep seeping into our lives, making us look different. choosing to not go to the frat party, or choosing to say a kind word to our family members who might be getting on our nerves, or just being patient with the people around us. So choosing righteousness and what is glorifying to God. Currently, right now in my life, it's allowing me to see past the turmoil, the difficulties, the challenges, all the ups and downs. Going to college, all of that anxiety, coming back home early and figuring out how to be dependent again on my family and what that looks like with my relationship with my family. That's all hard and is easy to get stuck down in and thinking about that all the time, but I'm able to choose joy when I know that God is still working together everything for my good, and so allowing me to see past those, counting it all joy. And then when we do that, we're not going to be able to keep it to ourselves. We're going to want to tell our teammates, our coworkers, our friends about this joy and what looks different in our lives. And it'll stick out. It'll look different. So, yeah, going out and sharing that.
I'm wrapping up 30 years of youth ministry this year. And, wow, that's a long time. You're not even 30. Wow. Okay. Dang, Sidonia. I've been doing this longer than you've been alive. Oh, thanks. One thing I've learned over this time, students and high school graduates, is that it's not over now. It's not over when you graduate from high school. I'm going to go off to college, and I'm done with Jesus. Jesus follows you everywhere, and I want to encourage you to get involved on campus, whether you're staying here locally and get involved with Kyle leading the college ministry and the young adults here, whether you're going away to school, is to get involved there. Because that's the important thing about staying connected to your faith and resisting those temptations, resisting Satan, having that relationship in college is so important. It's so, so important. And, you know, as adults, it's also important to keep connected to Jesus. Right now, it's so easy to start drifting away and to start losing that sense of connectedness and relationship. But I know that Jesus has a plan for us. And he's raising us up. And he wants you to resist Satan and the devil and to have that joy in your life, not to worry about what is next, but to rely on his provision, to rely on his love, to rely on his care. Because that's why the Son of God came. That's why he died on the cross. That's why he sacrificed himself, is so we have that relationship with him. And we could enter into that. And that we pray constantly that Satan stays at bay and we have their protection around us, because there is one that overcomes the father of lies. There is one who overcomes all that lies, and that is Jesus Christ. And we have that message to take out into the world. Right now, the pain and the hurt and all those isolations that's going on, we have that message to take out in the world. We can be that Jesus Christ for people, hands and feet out in the world, whether it's the food pantry or those calls or those prayers. But let's be who Jesus is. And you know, students, I just want to wrap up with the idea. I know this is difficult. In 30 years, I've never had a senior season like this. This is the first year I'm not going to be going to a high school graduation in 30 years. And I miss those. And we have some more things planned for you guys over the summer and some surprises, hopefully. But we want to celebrate with you, too. And I just want to pray for you guys, and I want to pray for all of us as we wrap this up today, okay? So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this message. I thank you for Sidonia and her heart and how she follows Christ and the example she is, Lord. And Lord, I just lift up every person in their cars, at home, who hears this message live, who misses this message later, that protection comes around them. That they don't believe the father of lies, that they believe the truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And they know that, and they take that in. And so I ask right now that any attacks by Satan out there on anyone who's listening to this is stopped. That in the name of Jesus, Satan is repelled, and the Holy Spirit comes around people and cares for people and lets them know they're loved and worshiped and communicated with and all those things. We ask these things to take them out in the world. In your son's most holy name, and God's children said, amen, amen. And Sidonia, I just want to thank you so much for coming on board here today and helping with this message. And you're an amazing woman of God.
Thank
it's been
you.
My pleasure to know you all these last 7 years. years. It's just been exciting to see you grow and all you students. And I want to commend you to community groups. Go online, sign up for them. And we'll see you guys next week. Have a great week.